I just wanted to share something funny because it helps me get the nerves out. But when I was on Facebook today, I saw a meme that said, like, you know, the pro thing about being an adult is you can eat 28 cookies and nobody can stop you. And then it said, you know what the con thing about being an adult is? You can eat 28 cookies and no one will stop you. So go ahead, laugh. I thought that was cute. But today, I want to speak about worship and the worthiness of God. That's what he's been laying on my heart. He really is a gift. He's a treasure to our lives. And the it thing now is to do the hashtags, and hashtag worth it was the title of my message today. So Matthew 2:1, if you want to flip there, or I think it'll be on the screen. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. So we think we have a good grasp on what the word worship means, I think. We treat it like a noun. I think most of us, we think it's that first half hour of music at the beginning of a service. Or if you're a Pentecostal church like us, maybe it creeps into 30 minutes, 40 minutes, maybe all day, whatever. But really, the definition of worship in the dictionary is the expression of reverence and adoration for a deity. And that definition really doesn't say anything about music, does it? So the truth is you can worship God in so many ways, and we all know this. You can give time, you can give money, you can show care to others. With our words, whether it's to music or not, we can worship. Sacrifice, obedience, the list goes on. There's a lot of ways to worship the Lord. But it really is a verb, isn't it? It's an expression. It's a lifestyle. And another definition that I came across was honor given to someone in recognition of their merit. And that really stuck out to me, of their worth, their merit. And worthiness. Is God worthy? Yes. Yes, he's worthy. But what the Lord was really laying on my heart is a better question for us today would be, how worthy? We know he's worthy, but how worthy is he? And this story about the wise men, it really fascinates me because these were wealthy, well-dressed, learned men, possibly kings, who probably had reached the pinnacle achievements, you know, of their lives. They were successful. They were respected, but humble enough to recognize that this child, Jesus, deserved worship. He was worthy, but how worthy? The scholars say that the wise men probably traveled 800 to 900 miles from the east on a camel, probably. You know, I love a good road trip. How many of you love, you know, road trip? And you got your snacks, you got your tunes, you know. I especially loved it before kids, I'll say that. But I love a road trip, but after a while, everyone hits that point where it's just not fun anymore, right? And then you start hearing that question, are we there yet? Are we there yet? But, you know, this just, it doesn't sound like fun to me. 800 miles by camel, a camel with a personality, probably, right? I mean, I like that I can hop in my car and it'll not have any opinions about, you know, what we're doing today. It just does what I tell it to do. But a camel with a personality. And, like, I'm just not going to lie to you. These things freak me out. I just think they're freaky. Like, they're weird. And they spit. And it just doesn't look comfy at all. So it really just doesn't sound like that good of a time to me. But why did they do it? The Bible says they did it to worship. They came to worship. It doesn't really say anything about them whipping out guitars or being good singers. They did have gifts, but it was also the gift of them just coming. I think a lot of us today would be like, that's going to be live streamed, right? You know, we wouldn't make the trip. We wouldn't make the sacrifice. We want easy. We want convenient. But it was worth it to them. He was worth it to them. I want to share a clip that really struck me. This is not a Christian clip, I know. You're going to be like, but The Greatest Showman is a movie that I really love. So I wanted to show you this clip that I came across. It's of Hugh Jackman. He's the star of The Greatest Showman. And you'll see what happens. So let's just watch this together.
get The Greatest Showman greenlit, we had to get everyone into New York City to hear a read-through, where we'd read through the script and sing it. We needed the Fox executives, we needed Hugh, we needed the producers, and it took 8 months to get everyone in the room. And once we managed to get this date, Hugh calls me the day before and says...
that I had just had a skin cancer cut out of my nose. All was fine. I knew you were worried about that. But I had 80 stitches in my nose, and my doctor said, you're not allowed to sing.
I said, Hugh, who have you told? Because you cannot tell anyone, because no one is flying to New York City to hear you not sing a musical.
Which was a good advice. So the next day, everyone arrives and I get there and I explain to everyone why I wasn't singing. I also explained, this was Michael's suggestion, a good one, that I should stand just to be clear to everyone that I will be singing on the day and gesticulate and of course, act all the scenes.
And he did. Yeah. And also, to Hugh's credit, he did that for every single number. He stood up there, he was the great showman until one number.
You see him keep checking his nose to see if the stitches split. This man had 80 stitches in his nose. The echo's back. 80 stitches in his nose, and he just could not hold himself back. He was supposed to stand up and pretend he was singing the songs, and when it came to that song, he just couldn't not sing, even with 80 stitches in his nose. I just love like when he keeps checking. But I feel like that sometimes. I feel like as the people of God, like we need that kind of energy. We need that kind of fire shut up in our bones because he is worthy. Nothing makes him less worthy. Nothing makes him more worthy. He is worthy, period. And, you know, worship isn't always easy or convenient. Hebrews 11:15 talks about the sacrifice of praise, doesn't it? Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. It's easy to worship God when things are good, isn't it? But when it's hard, when things are tough, when you're going through something, that's when it's a sacrifice, and it's costly that way. I think there's something special about those times where you literally can't say anything. It's just you pouring out your heart to God, and his word says that he keeps our tears in a bottle, and he sees he's near to the brokenhearted. There's something special about that sacrifice of praise. Romans 12, 1 through 2 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So is he worthy? We know that he is. But the question, like I said, how worthy? Are we willing to lay down our reputation, our comfort, our friends, maybe some family, everything for him? The first place the word worship is mentioned is in Genesis 22, 5 through 9. And I think most of us know this story well, but where Abraham is going up the mountain to sacrifice Isaac, the son he waited 100 years for. Again, no mention of guitars or keyboards or drums or singers, but an altar and the treasure of someone's heart about to be laid upon it. What can we learn from this? We can learn a lot of things, but I think what we can really take away as far as worship is concerned, it's so much less about music and singing than it is about altars and sacrifice. And I think reminding ourselves of these things helps move us away from that easy tendency to see it, worship as that half-hour slot in a service, but a lifestyle of saying, Jesus, you are worth it all. You are worth it all. Because a mature Christian will learn it's not about the style, it's about his worth. He's not less worthy with just a piano or no sound system. He's not less worthy in a small church or in a big stadium. He's not less worthy if the worship team's having an off day. He's not less worthy if you don't even feel like worshiping. He still deserves it. Nothing takes away or adds to his worth. Nothing. Stephanie Martinez, who will be visiting us in a few weeks, she said this quote in a CD that I was listening to, and it has always struck me. I have it on my bulletin board in my office. When worship is made to be about us, it becomes an anemic expression about what we need. But when worship is made to be about him, it becomes a profound proclamation of truth, and that truth swallows up every need. I love that. So how can we withhold worship? How could we walk away from him when he is so worthy? It's kind of scary to think about it, but at what point as individuals do we walk away and say, you know what, this is too hard. This is not worth it to me. I'm done. And we all know people who have walked away, don't we? But where's that line for you? And where is that line for me? You know what? I pray we never find out. I hope we never find out. We don't have to deal with a lot of persecution in this country compared to a lot of other places. But at what point for you would it be that you would say, I'm done? I hope we never find out. I really do. These are heavy things, but it's all about value and it's all about treasure. And what things do we value or treasure more than Christ? In Luke 18:18 through 23, we read about the rich young ruler. And it says, "Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, 'Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your mother and your father.' And he said, 'All these things I have kept from my youth.' So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, 'You still lack one thing. Sell all you have and distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me.' And when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich." And another version says, "He went away sad." It was too much. And I just think it's so sad. Nothing to me is more sad than when someone says, "You know what, this life isn't worth it." Because Jesus gives life and life abundant. It's worth it. It's so worth it. It's so worth it following him. But there are so many examples in the Bible where people did lay down their reputations, lay down their family, their friends, and follow him and say, "This is worth it. This is what I want." One of those ladies is found, the story is found in Luke 7, 36 through 50. Then one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to eat with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a sinful woman from that town learned that Jesus was dining there, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wipe them with her hair, and then she kissed his feet and anointed them with the perfume. When the Pharisees who had invited Jesus saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who this is and what kind of woman is touching him, for she is a sinner." But Jesus answered him, "I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men were debtors to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. When they were unable to repay him, he forgave both of them. Which one then will love him more?" "I suppose the one who was forgiven more," Simon replied. "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. And turning towards the woman, he said, "Do you see this woman? When I entered your house, you didn't give me water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not greet me with a kiss, but she has not stopped kissing my feet since I arrived. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with perfume. Therefore, I tell you, because her many sins have been forgiven, she has loved much, but he who has forgiven little loves little." And in another account, it says that her story will be told forever. That's worship. She knew what people would think of her. She knew her reputation, and she still said it's worth it to worship Jesus. 2 Samuel 6, 12 through 23 talks about David, and he danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Now as the ark came into the city, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through the window and saw King David leaping and twirling before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. So they brought the ark of the Lord, set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David erected for it. Then David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. And when David had finished offering the offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Then he distributed among the people, the whole multitude of Israel, both women and men, to everyone a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. When David returned to bless his household, and Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself in the eyes of the maids of his servants, as one of the base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself." So David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house to appoint me ruler over all the people of the Lord over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord, and I will be even more undignified than this, and I will be humble in my own sight." Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. She was criticizing his worship. And, you know, that's one thing the Lord has spoken to me, like, you know, that leads to a spiritual barrenness when you look on somebody's worship and you criticize it. He was before the Lord. It was a gift. It was an offering to the Lord because he recognized his worth. You know, the disciples, we know that they all were martyred except for two of them. Isn't that worship? Wasn't that a great cost that they paid for the kingdom and for the sake of the gospel, their lives and their blood declared that it was worth it, that he's worth it all. Hebrews 12:2, it was for the joy set before Jesus that he endured the cross. There was a joy there. Every single insult that was hurled at him, every scoff, every curse, every wound, he was saying that we were worth it. We were worth it. It was for the joy set before him that he endured that. You were worth it. I was worth it to him. I want to read a couple scriptures now about how Jesus Christ is precious. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Peter 2:7. As we just wrap this up, I just really feel like we need a revelation of his worth. 1 Peter 2:7. Jesus Christ is precious. It says, to those who believe, he is precious. In Philippians 3:7 through 11, for whatever gains were to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participate in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining the resurrection from the dead. Matthew 13:44-46, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. He is a treasure. He's a treasure. He's a gift, and he is worth it. It's a joy to serve him. It's not a burden to obey him. His word says that. We need a revelation of his worth today. Ask him for a revelation of his worth today. It's worth it to love him. It's worth it to follow him. It's worth it to do what he asks of us. So is he worthy? Yes. But how worthy? Will your decisions and the things that you do in your life declare his worth, declare his merit? Thank you, Jesus. You know, we do a lot of altar calls and people come around people and pray for one another, and that's awesome. But what the Lord spoke to me today is that we're just to minister to him today. We're to ascribe unto him the glory to his name, the honor to his name. He is a treasure. He is a gift. He is a pearl of great price. So make whatever place that you're at today an altar. We're going to sing a couple songs, and then we'll take that missions offering. But this is for him. This is all for him. Lord, we would go anywhere. We would do anything for you. The cost is worth it. You are worth it, God. You're worthy. Or you can come to the altar and just minister to the Lord. Whatever you feel in your heart to do. But we need a revelation. I know that much. I know we need a revelation of his worth today in this room, in our nation, don't we? In our nation, we need a revelation of his worth. So just come and minister to him. Worship him. Thank you, Lord.
You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all.
Our lips bless you today. Our lips bless you today, Jesus.
For from you are all things, and to you are
so worthy.
You deserve
the glory. You deserve the honor, God.
You're worthy of it all.
There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like Jesus.
You're worthy of it all. All I have and more. For from you I love things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Just stir ourselves this morning. We need to hunger. We need to thirst for Jesus. Sing it again. And Lord,
you.
Worship you in this place today, God. We recognize that it won't always be easy worship, God. Lord, it won't always be a mountaintop experience worship, God. But you're worth it, serving in every season of our lives, Lord. No matter what we're going through, God, you are worth it. You are a treasure. You are a gift, Lord. We're so grateful, God, that we know you. We're so grateful, God, that your presence fills our lives, God. Every day, Lord, we thank you, God. It's a privilege and an honor to know you. It's a privilege and an honor to walk with you. Give us a revelation of your worth, Lord. Lord, all the presents we opened yesterday, they were nice, but they're nothing compared to knowing you, God. They're nothing compared to having your joy and your peace flood our lives, Lord, no matter what we're going through, Lord. Show us how to minister to you. Show us how to wash your feet with our hair. Show us how to anoint you, God, how to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. Show us how to bless you. Show us how to bless your heart. We want to please you, Father. We want to serve you, Father. And we recognize the cost that you paid so that we can have relationship with you, so that we can fellowship with you. And it is a familiar relationship, and we're so grateful for that, but let us never forget your worth. You are King of Kings. You are Lord of Lords. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the beginning and the end. Nothing compares to you, God. And we can't hold ourselves back, God. We can't hold our worship back from you, Lord. You're deserving. You're worthy, God. Show your people today. Show us today how to minister to your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And bless us with your presence, Lord, not just in this place, but everywhere we go. God, that everywhere we go, we would be that living sacrifice. Our lives would be laid on the altar, God. We would do whatever you're calling us to do. It's all garbage compared to knowing you, God. We forsake it all, Lord. We count the cost and we pick up our cross to follow you. And we glorify you in this place. Thank you, Lord, for your word, God. Thank you, Lord, for this house, which we can freely come to and worship, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.